like you to think for a moment, perhaps even talk to those around you for a minute or two about what are the things that make you happy or that you enjoy, or can you think of anything that would make life really good and satisfying? Okay, so things that make you happy or you enjoy, or what would make life really good and satisfying? Go. Okay, splendid. Jonathan tells me that there is a slight technical hitch with the projector, so we're going to have to live without the blessing of the bottom of some of the slides, but I'm sure we'll muddle through. Now, so, what about your answers to that question then? Think, yes, Matty. What? Going swimming. Ah, there's a lot of lobbying in our house for Daddy to go swimming. Yeah, you know, when you've got four kids, one person can't do it. Yeah, swimming. Yeah, absolutely. He likes swimming. Yes, Tommy. You like Daddy? Oh, you like going swimming as well. Yes, excellent. Yeah. Meryl.
What would make my life easier would be obedient and loving children.
Oh, no change there, Meryl, obviously, yes, absolutely, yes. Jono.
Live far away from
your family. Okay, yeah, Liverpool football triumph. I don't know why Jono supports Liverpool, but he does. What's that, Steve? Now, other ideas, things that make you happy or you enjoy, or what make life really good? Yes. Yeah, wouldn't it be nice not for it not to be so wet and muddy and horrible? Yeah. Yes, Jane. Yeah, family time is very precious and important. Yeah, well, I'm sure there are lots and lots of other things. If we have the next slide, please, which might look surprisingly like that slide. Yeah, now, it's meant to say underneath, verse 1, blessed or happy. Now, the Bible often talks about things that would make people blessed or happy. You know, that is, what is the good life? And in our reading, which we're going to have now, we're going to see one description of the blessed or happy life. So listen out for this. Other things could be said, of course, but here's one thing that makes life really good. Thanks be to God. And thank you to you too. So King David, who wrote this psalm, what does he say makes for a happy or blessed life? Having your sins covered, yes. You see it there in verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him. Now, that perhaps requires a bit of unpacking and explaining, so let's have the next one, see. Transgressions, that's a big word, isn't it? To transgress means to break the rules. It's a bit like trespassing. You see a sign, it says, no entry, private, keep out. And you go through there, you're transgressing. It's like a trespass, another word for sin. It's breaking the rules. Or next one, please. Sin. Now, the idea of the word sin in the Bible is to miss the mark, to fall short. If you think of the middle of that target as God's perfect, holy, sinless righteousness, well, none of us ever hit that mark, at least not perfectly all the time. We all fall short of the glory of God, the Bible says. And of course, we've got all sorts of difficulties and problems in life, haven't we? Sometimes other people's sin causes us a problem. But the Bible would say that really our big problem is that we're all sinners, we all do things wrong, we all break the rules, we all fall short of God's glory, and that God is a holy, righteous God who will judge sin. So sin is our big problem. And King David, writing in this psalm, talks about his experience. Let's have the next slide, please. He says, when I tried to cover up my sin, it led to misery. I couldn't cover up my sins from God, and it got me into trouble, and it didn't work. Now, here's a test of what you've been learning in Sunday Club. David was, of course, a great hero, one of the best kings in the Old Testament, mighty warrior. What is David perhaps most famous for? David and Goliath, defeating the giant Goliath, yes. So David was definitely a goodie. But like all of us, David was imperfect and a sinner. And in fact, David committed some pretty terrible sins. And this picture is meant to make us think of one of them. Now, does anybody know what that might be a picture of? We might need a bit of help from the grown-ups with this. Monica, yes. David and Bathsheba, yes. So David is already married to someone else at this point. That lady there is Bathsheba. David saw Bathsheba bathing one day, and he wanted Bathsheba as his wife. And so he took her as his wife, although they were both already married to different people. And later on, Bathsheba was expecting David's baby. And because Bathsheba's wife Uriah was away in the war, fighting for David, David thought he was going to be found out. It was all pretty terrible. It was all going to go wrong. But David thought, oh, I'll get Uriah back, and then perhaps everyone will think the baby is Uriah's. But that plan didn't work out. So David came up with an even more wicked plan. His friend Uriah, who was his faithful soldier, David said to his other commanders, well, put Uriah in the thick of the battle, and when the fighting is the fiercest, all of you other soldiers just withdraw and leave Uriah there and let him get slaughtered. Pretty terrible thing to do, isn't it? So David was an adulterer. He broke his marriage promises. He was a murderer, really. Pretty terrible. When David tried to cover up his sins, it led to misery. Next one. But when David confessed his sins, the Lord forgave him, and it led to blessing and rejoicing. Now, there were dreadful consequences of David's sin for David's family, for Uriah, of course, who died. David and Bathsheba's little baby died too. So it was all terrible. But God did forgive him. Amazingly. Amazing, isn't it? God will forgive an adulterer and a murderer. In fact, the Bible tells us that whatever we do, we can be forgiven if we trust in the Lord Jesus. Next one. Transgressions can be forgiven. Next one. Sins can be covered. Now, you might be thinking, well, how on earth is this possible? I mean, this is just not fair, is it? That God would let people off when they've done things wrong. They deserve to be punished. And the answer is the next slide. The Lord Jesus Christ, who always lived a perfect life, never did anything wrong, died in our place so that we could be forgiven. God's grace and mercy is open to us, whatever we've done. Next slide. We will admit our sins to God and trust in Jesus. We too can be forgiven and blessed. Sometimes we'll have to live with the consequences of what we've done. God doesn't necessarily magic them away, but there's great blessing and rejoicing for those who trust in Jesus and know his forgiveness. So we've been thinking about sins and transgressions. Just remind me what sins are. Exactly. When we do things wrong, we fall short of the mark. We miss God's standards. So this is not very good, is it? And transgressions, they are? Breaking the rules. Well done, Ray. Glad you're here. Okay. So, let's think about these different people. Adam and Eve. Adam particularly. Now, did Adam sin or transgress, or was he righteous or perfect? He was a sinner, wasn't he? Transgressed. Next one. Oh, things are meant to miraculously appear here, but perhaps they're going to... we got carried away there. So you've given away the next answer. So remember, Israel, God's people in the Old Testament, they're constantly mucking it up, aren't they? We could have had David on here too. We've seen how David blew it in a big way. What about us? Sinners, or we've again already said that, haven't we? So, next one, please. Oh, yeah, click. Yeah, so all those people are sinners, and if the technology was working, it would say, Jesus, or was he a sinner or not? let's have our next reading, and let's think about how Jesus does in this reading. Is he righteous and perfect, or does he sin or transgress?
Thanks be to God, and thank you, Steve.
So, three temptations there. How did Jesus do? Next one, please. How did Jesus do?
Pretty well.
Yeah, of course, he passed all those temptations, didn't he? Perhaps it's too easy, you think. Maybe that's why you're not answering. It's not a trick question. So Jesus was perfect and sinless, wasn't he? He resisted the devil's temptations there. And in fact, he did that right throughout his life. He always lived a perfect, sinless, righteous life. He was the Lamb of God who was without spot or defect. So he could die in our place so that we could be forgiven, because he had no sins of his own. And when we trust in Jesus, God credits Jesus' perfect sinless righteousness to us. He sees us in him as forgiven and cleansed, our sins covered. Jesus defeated Satan on our behalf. Let's have what I think is possibly the last slide. So, again, this reminds us to trust in Jesus, our perfect, sinless, righteous Saviour, who defeated Satan, and to pray for God's help, that he would help us to be more like the Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the great promise of forgiveness, of transgressions covered. Please help us, our Father, to know that blessing and joy in the Lord Jesus Christ as we trust in him. Thank you for Jesus' death in our place. And we pray that you might make us more and more like him. We know that we will never be perfect until heaven, but we pray that we might know more and more victory over Satan and evil and temptation. For Jesus' great name's sake. Amen.